You might not believe it, but that's one of our college professors. I have no idea if he's ever been on a horse. I don't know how he got that student to get up there and help him unless it was a threat of grades. All joking aside, we appreciate it, Brother Bradley, and you've done a good job. Just one time there when we thought you were thrown off, but you got right back on. Amen. Amen. Had a lot of fun today with it, hadn't we? And I certainly appreciate what the sheriff had to say a while ago. Amen. Won't you open your Bible to Ezekiel? Strange place to go for Roundup Sunday, Ezekiel chapter 33. That's the Old Testament. Get over to Jeremiah and go to your right. You hit Daniel, go back to your left. Pick it up in Ezekiel chapter 33. Going to read about 9 verses, and we're trying to kind of stay along with the theme of Roundup Sunday. And of course, we've been doing this for so many years till I've used a lot of text in the Bible that we might, you know, I think I remember a sermon I entitled Hoofbeats from Hell. And I was showing the hoofbeats in the book of Revelation where the Antichrist and his crowd's coming. That's not my message this morning. Ezekiel 33. I want to talk to you about God is looking for some night guards. Now, if there was a herd out there and you were part of the crew that rounded up and was trying to get it to market, you would have to take your turn on being the night hawk, the night guard. You'd have to ride around, maybe in the moonlight, maybe in the total darkness, to try to keep the herd circled and guard from anything spooking them and scaring them up and so forth. And you know, we got a lot of Western songs. I believe some of them got written because the cowboy was having to ride out there at night by himself and sing to keep the cows quieted down. You say, oh, you think the cows got that much understanding? I don't know, never been a cow, but animals might be smarter than you think. Heard a preacher friend of mine tell not long ago, he said when they were in World War II in the army over in Burma, you heard of the Burma Road. Over there, he said, sometime they used elephants for picking up heavy stuff and all, and you had to take care of the elephant. And he said this one friend of his had an elephant. He had to take him every evening at the time the work was over, had to take him down to the water. He said, as soon as they'd get to the water, have I got competition back there somewhere? Help me out with it. He had to take him down to the water and let the elephant clean up. Now, he said every time they would get to the water, he said that the elephant would get there and grab a snoutful and spray him. Every afternoon, he said, I'd start trying to get my clothes off because I had to take a bath too. But he said, before I could get them off, that elephant would spray me every afternoon, clothes. He said, one afternoon, I ran a little bit ahead. I jerked my clothes off and piled them up and was fixing to jump in the water. The elephant picked up the water and went over and sprayed the clothes. They may be smarter than you think. Old cowboys had the herd do night duty sometime, be the night guard sometime and go around. I'm picking it up here in Ezekiel 33, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people. And whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now we understand Ezekiel was a prophet to Israel. We understand God was saying to Ezekiel, I want you to act like a watchman. I want you to be set up. I want you to sound the trumpet. I want you to give the warning. And he's telling us here what Ezekiel was to Israel. You and I, as God's watchman today, we too are supposed to be a watchman for God. We're supposed to sound the warning, sound the trumpet. Everybody's not going to hear us, but thank God some are. And so that's the job that we have. I want to make a little bit of an analogy on it today, because just like that night guard around the herd, he had to look out for danger. Maybe a wolf would come in and spook the herd. Maybe it'd be a cloud come up and dry lightning or something would hit. Or maybe, as they were saying it a while ago, the rustlers would strike at night. He had to be on guard. He had to take it seriously. And today, as I read in the Bible, I found out that Jesus compared the day we're living in to nighttime, to darkness. And as I think about it and make that analogy today, to begin with, I want to say the darkness in our day and age is obvious, isn't it? Wherever you want to look, I hear news every week and I think, how could it be? When I hear about army chaplains that can't name Jesus without losing their career. When I hear about coaches can't bow on the team out in the middle of the football field and pray because suddenly that's become illegal, it's crazy that America could be suffering in this kind of darkness that we're hearing about today. When I hear about the White House celebrating Islam's Ramadan and counseling prayer meetings, I say, where in the world did this stuff come from? But I look around and see it. I plucked this out of the mail this week. This is where Islam is being taught in schools, but you can't have the Bible. You can't have the Lord's Prayer. It's amazing. And there's about 10 things here that hopefully not locally here, but it'll get here because it's from the top down. Students are being taught that Allah is the same God as the Christian's God, and that's not true. He's the moon god and nowhere close to the Lord God Jehovah. Students are being taught that Islam at heart is a peaceful religion. Peaceful when they brought the towers down, when they cut the heads off. Students are forced to memorize and recite the five pillars of Islam. That's the core beliefs, doctrines of Islam. Students recite the following: there is no God but Allah, and the Quran is his holy text. That's baloney. Allah is the same God as Christianity and Judaism. That's false. Students are being forced to recite the pledge in Arabic, and instead of saying one nation under God, it's one nation under Allah. That's darkness, folks. That's cuddling up with the enemy. That's allowing what our forefathers bled and died for to be ignored and even outlawed, is what you might call it. So we're in a dark time. There's no doubt about it. And the result of it, we look around. See it today. By the way, did you see this week where they released Osama bin Laden's bodyguard? Oh yeah, he got out of jail. With a bunch of others that have already gone back and joined their old outfits fighting us still. That's amazing stuff. That's darkness in America that is happening. Babies being cut up and sold for parts. That's darkness, isn't it? It's amazing. But when we had the media debate the other night, the liberal media, they asked big, hard questions like, what do you think of fantasy football? They ignore the darkness. They ignore what is going on. But the darkness to any thinking person, especially any Bible-believing person, is very, very obvious today. But you know what? The good thing is the darkness hadn't shocked God. He predicted it was coming. He knows about it, and he is not being deceived. And the good thing is the darkness has not taken him by surprise. Jesus said in John chapter 3, over there he talked about him not coming to the light, and he said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John 3:19. That's exactly what we're seeing today. You ask the sheriff back there when the crime takes place, most often in the darkness. Love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I look here, though, and I see how God used Ezekiel as a watchman to be on the wall, to blow the trumpet, to get warned. Do you know what a warning is? That's merciful. God's mercy is displayed when he warns us. A rattlesnake has one good thing. He will warn you. And a warning shows that there is a way to get around something, to not get into it. I think about the feller years ago, and this probably happened more than one time, on a bad, rainy, stormy night. He was driving down a clay road somewhat out in the country, but somewhat of a busy road, and he was fussing because he wasn't making good time, and he was trying to go, but all of a sudden the man stepped out in the road holding an old-fashioned lantern and stopped him, and the guy rolled the window down and said, what are you doing out here stopping me in this kind of weather? Fussing at him. The man said, well, I'm out here in this kind of weather because I wanted to tell you about 200 foot in front of you, the bridge is out. See, the warning was a merciful thing. The warning was showing some compassion. And when God warns us, he's showing his mercy and he's showing his compassion. And God wants us to be watchmen. He wants me on the wall and you on the wall with a trumpet saying, yes, we're not going to put our heads in the sand. We are going to speak against it. And the truth of the matter is today, too many of God's people have got spiritual lockjaw and they've quit speaking up for Jesus. And that's just too bad. That's too bad. But you know, we can make a difference. You heard the sheriff a while ago. This county is different because some folks stood up. Thank God we had leadership in the sheriff's department. Brother Judd a while ago mentioned Sheriff Lawrence Crow. I appreciated Sheriff Crow and the foundation that he laid, and Sheriff Grady Judd being able to step up and take his place and continue to do a great job. I remember one night, and some of you folks remember this, one Saturday night, I was still up here in the church office pretty late, and the phone rang, and it was Sheriff Crow. He had called my house, and my wife had given me my number here at the office, and he called, and he said, Pastor Carter, he said, I'm asking for some help. He said, this coming week, whatever day it was, he said, we're in a fight with this nudity crowd, with this bad bunch. And we got to meet before the county commissioners, and I'd appreciate it if your folks would support us. I said, Sheriff, we'll be there. We'll be there. And a bunch of you did go. We had a big crowd show up. And he said, well, I thought you would. He said, but preacher, you'd be surprised. I called some other churches, and they said no. And he said, I told them, well, Pastor Carter will probably come. And they said to me, well, we're not quite like him. We're kind of middle of the road. We talked a while and hung up, and when he hung up, I got to thinking, what do you find in the middle of a road? A yellow stripe. And generally something dead. That's just my thoughts of those that won't stand up for what's right, deal with what's right. And by the way, we went to the meeting and had a good crowd, and I'll never forget, and Sheriff, I hope you can remember this one. You probably can. We were in there, and the fuss was going on. Some of the good guys would go to the microphone, and some of the bad guys would go to the microphone, and that's what was going on there in front of the commission meeting. And I saw Sheriff Judd get up and leave, go out. And I thought, he's got a call, go somewhere. There was a guy speaking at the microphone, and he was speaking bad stuff, and he was speaking pretty long, and he was advocating they have these nudity places. And he finally finished, and he turned around and started to walk back up the middle aisle, and Grady Judd come in and met him in the middle aisle, arrested him and put the handcuffs on him and took him out right in front of the whole crowd. Sheriff, I hope you remember that. Man, what a blessing. What he'd done, he recognized him while he was talking and realized there was a warrant out for him. He went back and got the warrant and come back and arrested him right in front of the whole crowd. Amen? A good one. No wonder God put him in the number one spot to keep doing the good job that he's doing. Amen? I'm talking about we could make a difference. We made a difference that time. The sheriff's department, churches like ours that backed him, we made a difference. We could still make a difference today, and if we don't make a difference today, we're selling our grandkids out with what we're letting come upon our very nation today. Oh, yes, sounding the trumpet, being the watchman, guarding, as it were, for God and meeting our responsibility. Christians, we're not just here to enjoy our trip to heaven. We're to try to stand for what's right. This Bible says, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the word of God, amen? And we are to take a stand, and we are to speak up, and thank God for our Constitution and good leaders, but they can't lead without good backing. And oh, how we need to back them. The difference is going to be important now. It's going to be important when Jesus comes. He is coming back to set things right. We are on the winning side. You do understand that, don't you? It'll make a difference when he shows up. I caught just a little bit on TV the other night. It was on an odd channel. I flipped through, and it was a kind of the end of a movie they've made over the little boy that died and went to heaven and came back. The book, you know, there's a couple of those books out. And anyway, I knew pretty much what was in the book. And you can believe that or not, but I heard the little boy say to his dad, "Do you know Jesus has a horse in heaven?" That's what he said to his dad. That's what he said in the book and in the movie. Well, I got news for you. He's right. Did you ever read the book of Revelation? The Lord Jesus is going to return on a white horse from heaven. I got good news for you. I got one too. And I don't know if Brother Bradley ever rode one or not, but he better practice, because we're both coming back following Jesus. We got horses stabled in heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. We're coming back in the Lord's army, man. We're coming back, and we make a difference now, but Jesus is going to make the big difference one day when he comes back to set things right. Amen. No, the difference is important today, and it sure will be then. But I want to say this. While the darkness is obvious, and it hadn't surprised God, you don't have to be a part of the darkness. You got a choice to reject it. I hope that you are rejecting it. I look, though, in my text here at verse 4, and it says, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." Do you know what you're hearing on radio right now if you're listening? You know what you're hearing in this room right now? You're hearing a trumpet being blown. You're hearing a warning being given. You're hearing a watchman holler, "There's danger out there," to try to alert you, trying to tell you the spiritual bridge is out. The devil seems to be running rampant in the darkness today, but you don't have to be part of that darkness. Amen. You do have a choice. Yes, you do. You know, God's trumpets of warning are plenteous today. This is a warning this morning, if you're not saved and don't know Jesus, that the darkness is creeping up on you. But you don't have to stay in it. You can come out of it. Other trumpets are sounding, other good churches, other people that love you. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many have had a loved one speak to you about your soul because they don't want you to die and go into the outer darkness of hell? Well, that was a trumpet blowing, whether you knew it or not. Somebody gave you a tract. You heard a good word on the radio. You saw a good preacher on TV or something. That was God's trumpet. That was God's watchman. That was God that was saying, "Look out for the darkness. Get out of it. You don't have to be a part of it. You can come out of it." That's what they were saying. And the verse I just read said, if you hear the trumpet and you don't take heed to it, if the sword come, that means the judgment. If the judgment comes and takes you away, your blood, your responsibility for your own blood be on your own head, on your own hand. Now this verses I read lets us know that if the watchman don't blow the trumpet, if the watchman don't witness, then the blood is on his hands. But the individual that hears and rejects has no excuse. The blood is on him. The responsibility is on him. You know what? I thought about it recently. I wonder how many warnings an average man gets in life. Some maybe get more than others. How many warnings have they had? I think about on my own life. I didn't get saved till I was 22 years old. Didn't much hear the gospel, if any. But even before I went to church and heard a gospel message about Jesus loving me and dying for me for my sins and shedding his blood to cover my sins that I could not get rid of, before I ever heard that, from time to time, somebody dropped a word. Somebody blew a trumpet. Grandma used to blow the trumpet before I'd go to the racetrack. She'd sit there with that old King James Bible. Hey, it's been around a long time, folks. That's why I still use it. And by the way, it's amazing what God's done with the book. Not only went around the world, but do you know when they landed on the moon, one of the things they left there was a King James Bible? Oh, yeah, then liberal media don't talk about things like that much. The truth of the matter is God has had his trumpet everywhere. He's had his word. Warnings go out. Grandma would sit side the door when I'd start out to the racetrack with that old King James Bible with no cover on it, and she'd mumble as she read, and the closer I got to her, the louder she mumbled. She was shooting at me, and she scored a bullseye. Oh, it was a long time after that I got saved, but I'd never get away from some of the things I heard her say. How many warnings did I get? I don't know that I could count them, but I got a few. I got a few. How many have you had? How many close calls have you had? Was that accident supposed to kill you, but God took you through it? Was that disease supposed to be terminal, but God brought you through it? That was a warning. That was a trumpet blowing. God's night rider, so to speak, was getting the message out to you, trying to keep you safe, trying to warn you about the darkness. You know, I don't know how many warnings God gives a man. I know he says in Proverbs 29:1 that he that being often reproved, many times, often reproved, and hardeneth his neck, means resisted, being often reproved and yet resisted, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, when the judgment falls, it's sudden. How many warnings? 1, 2, 3, 50, 100? I don't know. But the trumpet is sounded on everybody. You say, how you know that? Because the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I'm going to take God's word for it, that he spoke to men's hearts. He's given them a chance. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't hear, I didn't have any warning. The trumpet never reached me. Oh, yes, it did. What'd you do with it? What are you doing with it right now? Oh, the sound is much clearer today. The liberal media, the ungodly crowd, the atheist crowd out there would like to say, oh, the word's not getting out, but look, it is getting out. God is still using the same. The devil maybe used the electronic media, but God is using it also. And his word is getting out, and there's more people today on planet Earth that's heard the gospel than any other time since Jesus Christ was here himself. And God is going to hold them accountable for what they did. Blood on your head if you reject Christ. Blood on my head if I don't tell you. God's watchmen need to speak up. We need to sound the trumpet. You know, the truth of the matter is that we are doing that. And while there's a big opposition today and a lot of bad stuff going on, the truth of the matter is God's still sounding the trumpet. He's trying to call men out of darkness. I was getting dressed this morning pretty early, and some of you have probably heard the man on TV. I love to hear him. He's a tremendous historian. Bill Fetter, he is a walking history book. and a preacher, but he ties in history with it so good. And he was giving the testimony this morning, which I had read some of and knew of. He was giving the testimony this morning on his part on the TV there about the astronauts believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. I mentioned the fact the King James Bible's on the moon, unless they've picked it, unless the Martians have come picked it up, it's still there. Amen. But he was saying, and I've known the testimony of several of the astronauts, and one of them gave a testimony like this. He said, the second greatest thing in my life was when I walked on the moon. He said, the first greatest thing in my life was when I met Jesus and walked with him. Say, oh, I'm too scientific to believe. Oh, you're kidding yourself. It's not your intellect that's defeating you. It's your heart that you won't open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because inside your heart, the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to trust me. You need to trust the Lord Jesus. You need to get your sins forgiven. You need to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And that witness that comes inside your very soul, you may study some books that try to talk you out of it, but deep in your heart, you know God is still after you. And you've heard his trumpet. Heard it many times. I challenge you this morning. Are you willing to repent from your way and turn to his way? Willing to quit trusting yourself and trust the Lord Jesus as Savior? The darkness is real. I'm not minimizing that. But I'm saying there's something greater than the darkness. And that's the light the Lord Jesus Christ gives when he comes in your soul. When he saves you and puts your name in his book, nothing tops that. There's coming a great roundup one day. It's going to be a roundup of those that heard the trumpet, took warning, and those that didn't. Which group? Which choice? You don't have to be part of the darkness today. Yeah. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I've trusted Christ. He's my Savior. Because of him and him only, if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you lift that hand as a testimony? Thank you, so many. You may put them down. Are you here this morning? You'd say, preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I have been warned. The trumpet has sounded long in my life, and yet I've never come to Christ. And I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But preacher, when you pray, have me in mind that I might be saved before it's too late. Would you slip that hand up? I'm looking, God's looking. God's people have their head bowed. They're praying for you if you're not saved, because they remember when they sat where you sat, heard what you've heard, and made a decision like you're making now, either for or against Christ. You had the warning. You've heard the trumpet. Have you heeded it? Do you know him as Savior? Very well, let's stand. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, once more, like all these many years, I've stood here. I've tried to blow your trumpet loud and clear. I warn about the darkness, but Father, I've also spoke much about the light that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, Father, that some would step out of the darkness into the light by receiving Christ as Savior. I pray you'd bless the invitation that we give. We give the opportunity for them to come be saved, opportunity to move a church membership or come for baptism or whatever you've spoken to them about. I pray they'll say yes to it. Bless now in the invitation in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the